The AutJet Business Show is your gateway to expert business advice and real-world success stories. Each week, a different leader in the business world will share their tips, insights, and lessons, offering you practical advice to navigate your entrepreneurial journey. Whether you have a business idea or are just starting out or looking to elevate your existing business, the AutJet Business Show provides mentoring, inspiration, and invaluable networking opportunities to help turn your vision into reality. Ensure you get these transformative conversations live on Thursdays at 6 p.m. or find the podcast at highfm.com. Let's build your business empire together.
Welcome, welcome. It's Thursday and you're listening to the AutJet Business Show. I'm David Zeidel, and tonight we have a special guest, but tonight's special in another way. I'm broadcasting from Umhlanga, Craig sitting in the studio in Joburg, and Nadja Bilcik is sitting in the USA in Atlanta. So we got this great show, and we're going to listen to you. Nadja, thank you for joining us.
David, what a pleasure to be here. And don't you love the fact that we've got Umhlanga, Johannesburg, and Atlanta?
I think it's incredible. But Nadja, as I told you before, we start off with a brief little business story, and then I'll give a brief introduction to yourself, and then we'll launch into the interview.
So the business story
tonight is actually around Steve Jobs. And apparently people working for him said that he used to work with something which he called the signal to noise ratio. The signal being what you have to do, and the noise is everything else. And he used to look at what are the top three or five things that he has to achieve every day. And he focused on that. And by focusing on that, you shift out what we call the noise, all the other things. Now, some of the noise could be things that we think are the norm, like time with your family might be noise. Listening to TV might be noise, but you need to make sure that the signal is big enough that you can spend some of the time with the noise. And with different people, it's different percentages. Apparently, his aim was about 80%. I think I'd be good with like 50-50. But if you can decide what is the signal and what is that signal, it's what do you have to do in the next 12 hours that will get that in those 12 hours, you get done what you need to do, anything that stops you from your key things. So it's almost like a different way of saying, what are the key things you have to do? Make sure you get those key things done in the next 12 hours. And that's kind of what others might call focus. So that is the short little business story that we have today. But who have we got today with us? So it's an absolute pleasure to introduce Nadja. She's a speaker, a trainer, and an author. Nadja has been in demand as a speaker for over 25 years, and she has vast experience of being at the front line of broadcasting. And she'll share some of her secrets with you of powerful communication. She was an anchor on MNET TV in South Africa, and then she's hosted various shows for CNN International. And I think there was also something called the Weekend Passport on CNN. So a couple of shows on CNN. In her career, she's interviewed many top political figures and entertainers, people like Nelson Mandela, George Clooney, Tom Hanks. And her background has given her this extraordinary understanding in communication. And I think that's what we're going to unpack tonight. But where did she start? She actually started at school and went from a love of acting and then moved through that. So Nadja, maybe if we can start with, how did you find this love for acting? And I know you were a lead role at school in many of the plays. And then how did you go from that to build this extraordinary international career?
Well, David, I really thank King David. I was lucky enough to go to King David only at the end of around Standard 8. And I'd gone from Hyde Park High School to King David Lingsfield. And there we had the wonderful Elliot Wolf. And Elliot really had this ability to look at kids and say, what is their gift? And math certainly was not mine, but any school play I auditioned for. And one of my favorites was that I did Twelfth Night with my brother, Brian, who is a cardiologist today. And Brian and I played Sebastian and Viola in Twelfth Night at King David Lingsfield High, a brother and sister. And really just loved. I also have my wonderful mother listening to us tonight. And my mother schlepped David to every possible audition and play. One of the things we did was Toby Kushlick directed The Wonderful Fiddler on the Roof, and I played Yenta. And Aneta Bilczyk, my mother, took me to every rehearsal and every audition and just loved it. I felt very at home on stage. And my desire, certainly in high school, was I want to be a performer. And was very lucky, David, as well, because I got into UCT drama school. So I did a bachelor's in English and history. And then in the afternoon, we had drama school. So you could do two qualifications simultaneously. So there I was at UCT acting school. And so many of South Africa's finest actors have come out of UCT. Jamie Bartlett being one. Annemarie van der Merwe, so many well-known South African actors came out of UCT Drama School, but it was the discipline. So lived in Cape Town, went to acting school, and it was interesting because after that, I actually auditioned for a whole series of movies. My first one was with Gary Busey on the island of Skiathos in Greece. And David, what people don't know is I did all my own stunts. But I was being interviewed by Penny Smythe for one of the movies I was doing. And I remember Penny Smythe interviewing me thinking, I would so much rather be doing the interview than being interviewed. And I don't know, David, you yourself have such an extraordinary career and so much wisdom. And I was just listening to your Steve Jobs story earlier, and I wanted to ask you more about that. So at some point, I would love to switch and be interviewing you. But I realized early on being interviewed that I really was fascinated by interviewing others. And that led to journalism and then moved to Atlanta, Georgia in 1997.
Wow. And what, so you've written a couple of books. So if you can tell us about those books and what are the messages in those books? And then maybe because this is really an educational show, what can we as the listeners learn from each of those books? What was the key message?
So the first book was around networking. And at that point, I called it The Little Book of Big Networking Ideas. And that book came out of moving countries and continents and sides of the road. And I say to us South Africans, we have this organic network. And the reality is when you move, you have to start building relationships all over again. And that's so foundational wherever you are, whatever country you are, whatever city you're in. So I wrote my first book around the ability to establish a network from the beginning, because I was so privileged in South Africa. I knew you. I knew Peter Krost, who is the editor of the Johannesburg Jewish paper. I knew Howard Saxteen. I had all of these wonderful people in my network, but I really wrote about how do you start again? And in the networking book, and I've now just revised it to Own Your Network, Building High Quality Relationships in a Rapidly Changing World.
Recording stopped.
And my advice to each and every person is, wherever you are, the ability to build long-term mutually reciprocal relationships is such a critical skill. And I just ask each and every person, again, wherever you're at, just to ask yourself, am I taking the time to be, and the word I say is be a go-giver as much as a go-getter. So I seem to have lost David, so I am going to call back in Just in case there is some technical issue going on. David, can you still hear me?
The AltJet Business Show provides mentoring, inspiration, and invaluable networking opportunities to help turn your vision into reality. Let's build your business empire together.
Hello, if you're just joining us, I'm Nadia Bilcik, and I was being interviewed by the most wonderful David Zeidel, but we are having some technical issues on his side, so I'm going to carry on chatting to you about the ability to build a long-term, mutually reciprocal network. And when I say mutually reciprocal, it's the ability to build long-term, meaningful relationships. And if I were to say what is the one lesson I've learned moving countries and continents and sides of the road, it's this, is that you have to be able to develop new relationships, but in a very authentic way. And how do you do that?
Recording in progress.
The question always is the how. And what I learned when I moved to Atlanta is that if you focused on other people and if you went into these relationships saying, what can I do for you? You would be much more successful than if you only focused on what can you do for me? So a phrase that I learned early on, and remember that in South Africa, I was on Mnet, I was a household name. In fact, I remember doing a program for BMW and I had my own studio in South Africa. And they said, aren't you going to have a meeting and tell me what I'm going to do in the media training with you? And they said, no, we've seen you on TV. So I went from that visibility to starting again and knowing nobody. And what I learned early on is that if I went up to somebody, so for example, if I wanted to do media or presentation skills training at Coca-Cola, and I went up to somebody at Coca-Cola and I went, hello, can you get me into Coca-Cola? I know you've got contacts there. I wouldn't have nearly as much success as if I said to people, I know you work at Coca-Cola. I'm looking to bring my media or presentation skills training to Coca-Cola. Do you have any advice or guidance as to who I should reach out to? So I learned very early on that if you ask people for advice or guidance, they are far more likely to want to help you than if you demand that. Does that make sense, David?
Yes. So I'm back and I'm glad you picked up. And I knew if I had to be disconnected from anybody, the best one to be disconnected is you, because you can pick it up. And thank you for running through when I had the technical issue. So I picked up the last little bit of what you were saying. So are you talking about your first book, The Networking, and how you yes. network in this area? And what I picked up is you said, what can I do for you rather than what can you do for me? Even though you do want somebody to do something for you, you first got to offer what you've got for them.
And I want you to expand what you think of as what I can do for you. So I'll give you an example. When I was in Johannesburg recently and I did a talk at AltJet, which was wonderful, and thank you, there was a young lady in the audience who reached out to me and she said to me, Nadia, I really like what you said. Can we continue this conversation? I said, absolute pleasure. And then she posted the most wonderful photograph and commentary on the session. She says, this was such a lovely thing with Nadia Bilcik. So although I may be mentoring her and I may be in a position to help her with her career, she gets fundamentally, what can I give this person? Well, that kind of social media exposure is gold. So when I'm talking to audiences, and I do a lot of speaking, David, to corporations really around the country. I'm going to Chicago next week, and I was in Greensboro, North Carolina last week. And I say to people, if you go into interactions with a real desire to help the other person, and it's got to be authentic, you can't fabricate it. And you think, okay, I might need David for his contacts, but what do I know or what do I have that can be of value? Now, if I say this to you, if I say, David, I've looked at your resume, you've really navigated your career well. Do you have any advice or guidance for me? if I do it in an authentic, sincere way, what am I giving you?
You're giving a compliment.
Right.
You're giving me, yeah.
And people want to be validated. So that was lesson one. Lesson one, I learned that everybody is tuned into the same radio station. We think it's High FM, but it's not. It's WIFM. And what does that stand for? What's in it for me?
Right.
Every person you connect with is going, what's in it for me? And I teach this in communication skills training, in presentation skills training, in personal branding. Everything I teach is around you having the emotional intelligence to understand why the other person should assist, should help. What's in it for them? And sometimes what's in it for them is just appreciation.
So
So in
it makes think it makes me think of that. There's the book, The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People by
Excellent.
Stephen
Yes.
Covey.
Yes.
And he sold, I think it's like 25 or 30 million copies. And
And
one of the
continue.
laws, I think it might be law number three, says think win-win. And that's what you're saying.
And Stephen Covey also speaks about do unto others as they would have done unto them, not as you would have done unto you. Think win-win is perfectly put. And again, nothing I share is revelationary, but in my book, I also look at the obstacles. What stops us? So I start off in the book talking about what real networking is. It's not going to a cocktail party and collecting a lot of cards and having a series of contacts in your pocket. It's about rather going to a cocktail party, meeting one or two people, having a meaningful conversation that can lead to a collaboration. But then I look at what stops us. What are the obstacles? And it's interesting because I've been teaching this program now for 3 decades. And what stops us, whether I'm speaking in Dallas or Dubai or Durban, are the same things. What if I reach out to David and he rejects me? So there's fear of rejection. I don't have time. What gives me the right to reach out to somebody? So as you're listening to this now and you're listening to David and I talking and you're going, this is all very well, but I don't feel comfortable reaching out, or I don't have time, or I don't know how to do it. So in the book, I go into, okay, what are the obstacles? And then we unpack how do you get over these obstacles? Because so much of our resistance to reaching out to people. So as you're listening to this, say right now, who would it be valuable if I was reaching out to right now in your business? So we've got people listening in all kinds of businesses. You could be working for Investec and you go, who in Investec would it be valuable for me to reach out to and why am I not?
So if I can stop you there for a second, because a lot of the businesses and a lot of people I've interviewed have always said networking, networking, it comes up again and again. And some people, and myself included, I think, well, networking is connecting with as many people as you can. But what you're saying is it's not the number, it's the depth. And you're saying you've got to make meaningful connections with people. And then when you say, and I feel uncomfortable doing it, you're saying there's three main things that are stopping you. The one is obviously we all have that, the fear of rejection. I'm going to get rejected some way. Or, you know what, I'd love to do it, but I don't have the time to do it. Or, who am I to ask Nadia for her time? So, and those are all things that are, it's our minds playing tricks with us. It's in fact, that links beautifully to the introduction of it's the noise. That is the noise that we were talking about.
You've put that so beautifully. It's the noise. And you have to know when is it real fear? Real fear is there's a bomb threat. Real fear was COVID. Perceived fear is I should reach out to that person. No, I'm not going to. So we talk about fear in the book as false events appearing real. So often what stops us is the discomfort. Now, how do we override this discomfort? Because we all have it. I'm in my own business. I have to email people. I have to reach out to people. I have to send LinkedIn messages to people. And The thing I say in my workshops is if you don't ask, you don't get. If you ask, you may not always get what you want, but if you don't ask, you don't get. But then I always bring it to how are you asking? And are you requesting in a gracious way or are you demanding? And again,
so what would be kind of demanding? How would you ask in a demanding way?
Demanding is, hi, David, I know you lecture at the business school in Johannesburg. Get me in there. That's demanding. Mm. A request is, David, because David, you really do have a remarkable career and an excellent reputation. I would be so grateful to get any advice or guidance from you. I'm interested in doing X. What do you think my next steps should be? And then it's up to you to say, you know, Nadia, here's a website or here's a person. Then I leave it up to you. But that is just a much more gracious way of doing it. And you make the other person feel much more comfortable. Also, human beings want to feel valuable, but we don't want to feel that we are being taken advantage of, and we don't want to feel uncomfortable. And I've had this through years of working at CNN. I might have somebody say to me, Nadia, my daughter, uncle, aunt wants to get in CNN. Can you get them in there? Or you have to help me get them in there. And I might then just say, you know, WarnerMediaJobs.com or CNNJobs.com. But if you say to me, Nadia, I've tracked your career and you really have done so many things. My child, aunt, uncle, sister, brother is interested. Would you sit down with them and give them some ideas? That will be a pleasure. And I've done that many times.
So would it be a way that you're not making a statement, but you're asking a question? So rather than me saying, get me in there, I'm saying, are you able to get me in there?
Absolutely. And I'd appreciate your advice or guidance. And then I can say, this is the person. And it really depends. So I know, for example, CNN, entry-level position, I know what it requires. So sometimes people think they would like to get in, but actually they don't have the qualifications. So they can ask my advice or guidance, and I can say, you know, maybe this isn't the right opportunity for you because I know these are the requirements. But my feeling is if you think of networking and you think about your network, David, it's people who really look out for you. It's people who, if they see an opportunity, you'll be the person they think of. And another thing Covey speaks about is deposits and withdrawals. So if you are somebody who's only withdrawing, where are your deposits? And we famously talk about you don't want to make a 911 call. Suddenly you're out of a job. I need help. And I'm saying to everybody who's listening today, think about a network as twofold. It's your existing network. It's people you work with every day. Don't think of it as external to your organization. It's people you work with every day. Do you take the time to invest in them? And then you have to be able to nurture and develop new relationships. But it's twofold. You know, sometimes I'll come into an organization and people have worked together for decades and they don't know that the person they're working with is dealing with an elderly parent or a disabled child or something. So something I like to ask people, and I don't go up to a stranger and ask this, but it's a good question to go beneath the surface, is to say to somebody, what's the biggest challenge you're dealing with at the moment? So if I say to David Zeidel, I'm not saying, David, what's causing you the most pain? I'm saying, David, what's your biggest challenge? And then it's up to you personally or professionally to share what's the one thing that's causing you stress. And then I can just listen. And I can ask you qualifying questions. So we underestimate just listening to other people. That is a form of giving.
Wow, that's interesting. So if you're just listening in and you're thinking, wow, who's sprouting these words of wisdom? We're busy talking to or listening to Nadia Bilcik. She's a speaker, a trainer, and an author of many books. And the first lessons that we're talking about is on her first book on networking. Nadia, your second book, what is the focus of the second book?
So the second book was interesting because it was called Small Changes, Big Impact, and it was about maximizing your presence and leveraging the power of your personal brand. And personal brand is a phrase that's bandied about. What does it really mean? And Jeff Bezos said it so well. A brand for a company or a product is like a reputation for a person. So in my workshops on personal branding or my keynotes, I talk about your brand is how you show up in the minds of the people you impact. So when I think of David Seidel, what words, images, or experiences come to mind? When we think of Steve Jobs, what words, images, and experiences come to mind? And that is your brand. And in that book, we really explored how you deliberately create a brand. And a phrase we use often is you are being branded, whether you are consciously involved in the process or not. And this is a simple exercise to do on branding, is come up with five adjectives, five words you would like to have come to mind when people think about you. So just think about it, whether it's having integrity or being a leader or being compassionate or being a team player. What are five adjectives you would like to have people associate with you? And one I famously talk about is having initiative. I would like people to think that I'm resourceful and I have initiative. Then the next question is, what experiences are you providing to be seen in that way? And so often there's a disconnect between how I want to be seen and the micro interactions, the micro experiences that I am providing to reinforce how I want to be seen. So a story I tell, I happened to be working at CNN as an editorial producer in bookings when Muhammad Ali was really ill. And it was a Wednesday and the show I was working for was a Saturday and Sunday. And I remember thinking, okay, if Muhammad Ali passes over the weekend, I better have a series of boxing aficionados and human rights activists and individuals on call, because who's going to answer the phone at 6 o'clock on a Saturday morning? And as it happened, I collected that list and he did pass overnight on a Friday night. And 6 a.m. Saturday morning, we got Manu Pacquiao, Don King and Evander Holyfield, because I'd had the initiative to reach out during the week. So that's a good example of an action and an experience reinforcing how you are perceived. Another part of a personal brand is your ability not only to know your strengths, but to communicate them. And again, in a way that is authentic, but also is offering value to the other person. And I know this is a lot of information, so I will unpack it slowly for you. But think about, do the people you impact know what your strengths and capabilities are, or could you do better at communicating them?
Wow. So I just want to unpack a couple of things, because this, I think these are incredible things. So you're saying, rather than your reputation, which is your brand, being created out there, you consciously create it. And the way you create it is by asking yourself, what are the five things that you want people to think about you? And then you work towards that and you communicate that out. And you're saying that the way you communicate it is in a way that is valuable to others as well. Now, I'm not 100% sure if I'm clear on that. So there's two things I'd like to ask you. One, how do you communicate that is value to the person and yourself? Mm-hmm. That's the first thing. The second question is, how do you choose those five things? And once I've chosen them, can I change them later on if I want to change who I am?
So thank you. First of all, those things are fluid. It's not set in stone. All I ask you to do is be very conscious and say to yourself, how do I want to show up in the minds of the people I impact? Am I providing the experience to be seen in that way? That gives you the power. So you're not dependent on other people's behavior as to how you show up. I'll give you a very simple example. Going to a friend for dinner recently, and I take chocolates and a bottle of wine. And my husband says, why are you taking chocolates and a bottle of wine? They never bring anything to you. And I say, that doesn't matter. What matters is how I want to show up. I am not dependent on other people's behavior for the standards I set myself. And that's what I'm saying to you, David. I ask people to set their own standards. You make a decision about the kind of person you want to be, how you react to things. If somebody sends you a rude, aggressive email and you want to send a rude, aggressive email back, I ask you to pause and say, is the way I'm about to respond to this congruent with, in harmony with the overall way I want to come across? And I'll quote Viktor Frankl, Holocaust survivor, psychotherapist, who says, between stimulus and response, there lies a pause. And in that pause lies your power to choose. And right now we are choosing to go to an ad break.
So this is, so Nadia, being who she is and knows what's happening, is taking my line from here. But excellent. So yes, we're going for an ad break. And when we come back, and I was going to say, Nadia used the word pause, in that pause, and in that pause, we're going to take the ad break. But I want you, when we come back, Nadia, if you can give that line again, and then we'll pick it up from there.
The AutJet Business Show provides mentoring, inspiration, and invaluable networking opportunities to help turn your vision into reality. Let's build your business empire together.
Welcome back. I'm David Zeidel. This is AutJet Business Show, and we are dispersed around the country and the world tonight. So I'm in Umhlanga, Craig's in Johannesburg, and Nadia Bilcik, who's giving us unbelievable insight, is in Atlanta in the USA. And if you're not sure who Nadia is, Nadia was with Mnet initially, then with CNN, and Nadia is a speaker, a trainer, and an author. And Nadia, just before the break, you were talking about what Viktor Frankl said, and you mentioned something in the pause, and we decided to have our own pause with that. But could you go back and just repeat that quote again and then unpack it like you were going to do?
So Viktor Frankl famously said, between stimulus and response, there lies a pause. And in that pause lies your power to choose. And it's that reminder that we choose in each and every interaction, each and every day, who we want to be. We set our standards for ourselves. So it gives us the power. We are not dependent on other people's behavior as to what our reaction is. How often do you hear somebody say, but they, and I go, but who do you want to be? And, you know, when you and I were chatting earlier in the week, you said, you know, what do you want to tell your children or your grandchildren? What I always want to tell my children and my grandchildren, I now have two, a 2.5-year-old and a 6-week-old, is you decide how you react to things. We give people and other people too much power. So when I do conflict resolution or having difficult conversations, you set your own standards. And Viktor Frankl said it so well, because you pause to say, how do I want to respond? And is the way I am responding congruent with, in harmony with, the overall way I want to be perceived? And that is what your brand is.
Yeah. So you're putting a complete different twist on that, because you're saying it's about how I want to be perceived. You know, there's a wonderful story I heard once of somebody was having a big argument with their spouse, and they went to see a psychologist, and the psychologist said, just have a glass of water, have a sip of water before you respond. And he gave him a special thing. He said, drink this water. And the relationship improved unbelievably. And he went back and he said, wow, what's in that water that help my relationship. And it's exactly what you're saying. It wasn't the water. It's by drinking the water that you pause. And so, yeah, so, but you're saying something else. It's almost like think about how you want to be rather than just pausing and thinking. And it's all of it. So you're saying your branding, and I'm hearing this message come through now, is your branding is whatever you're doing is like another stitch in your brand.
Excellently put. It's an experience. You can't dictate how you are perceived. So David and I can see each other, even though you can't see us, and he's wearing an Oakley shirt. You can't walk around with a T-shirt that says, hello, I'm a good guy. Hello, I'm Nadia. I've got initiative. Hello, I'm a team player. The only way you come across as a team player is if you cooperate with others and you show up. We cannot dictate how we are perceived. We are experienced moment by moment, interaction by interaction. That is how our reputation is built. So two questions you asked me, and I want to ask there. Number one, can you rebrand yourself? I get asked that a lot. But the second thing you said is, how do I share my strength and capability in a way that benefits others? So let's take you. David Zeidel assists people to understand finance and business in general. He specializes in finance and behavioral economics. Okay, so let's say you want to tell a potential company that you are going to help about your strengths and capabilities. If you walk in and say, hello, this is what I do. I'm brilliant. I can help you. I can turn you around. I can do this. It may sound boastful. But if you go to a potential client and you go, recently I worked with X company and I helped them do ABC. I've noticed what your gaps are. I look forward to seeing how I can be a resource for you, how I can help you overcome some of those challenges. So I'm not talking about myself to be self-serving. I'm talking about myself to see how I can benefit you. And that's when I'm talking to an organization about a keynote and they say, tell me about yourself. And I say, well, recently I gave a keynote to this group of individuals, or Coca-Cola, or Home Depot. And one of the things we looked at during the keynote was how we can help people maximize their impact in a rapidly changing world. And I know that you at Fill in the Blanks X Company are going through an enormous amount of change. So I look so forward to seeing how I can be a resource for you and helping your employees navigate that change and come to terms with what's happening and be proactive influencers versus reactive responders. So I'm turning my message around to see how I can be of benefit to you. And, you know, I remember working with a woman at Coca-Cola and she was really capable. And I came into coach her because she was not getting promoted. And when I analyzed with her what she was doing, what she was talking about, I've done this, I've done that, I've done that. And it comes across as self-serving and boastful. The minute she changed her messaging to, I worked with the Hispanic market and we managed to increase profits X 100%. I would love to bring that expertise to you and see how I can assist you and your organization in being a resource for you. So the model I use in the book on personal branding is I am, my expertise is, let me know how I can be a resource for you and to you. And then I'm most excited about the third book actually was with Laurie Milner. And I know you had her on your show recently, who is...
Can I just stop you there for a second? Because we also have to make our returns. So we're going to go for a break in a second. But just before we go for the break, I'm in the business world. In the business world, we talk about ROI, return on investment. And I often say that's the same as the return on I, the return on me. But I want to change it. Because what, listening to you, what I'm hearing from you is you saying, go down the alphabet. Don't stop at the ROI. Move all the way down to the ROU.
Love that.
The return for you. And I think that is great, but we still got to do for Hive, and we got to do our marketing so we get our ROI. And when we come back, I want to hear about that third book.
The AutJet Business Show provides mentoring, inspiration, and invaluable networking opportunities to help turn your vision into reality. Let's build your business empire together.
Welcome back. I'm David Zeidel, and I'm very excited about this. I mean, we had a rocky start with me losing the connection, but Nadia is sharing some unbelievable, valuable tips. Nadia Bilcik is a speaker, trainer, and author, and she was talking about focusing, showing what you're doing, but not just for the sake of I, but it's what I'm doing that could be useful to you. And you mentioned the way you do it is, I am, my expertise is, but how I can be a resource for you. And then you moved on and you were talking about the lessons from the third book, and that you'd done with Laurie Milner. So if you, Laurie Milner, I'm sorry,
exactly. I got that name wrong. And that was a wonderful collaboration. And we wrote Own Your Space. And as it happens, that we said it's a woman's guide or toolkit for the working woman and helping women to own their space, because women traditionally, historically tend to, and again, the research shows, not always feel as confident in leadership positions. That's what all the research says. So we called it Own Your Space, and Own Your Space meant really giving yourself permission to achieve whatever you wanted to achieve. And in that book, we broke it down into starting off, which is so foundational, which is owning your headspace. And everything really begins with owning your headspace, doesn't it? It's what is your relationship with yourself? What messages are you telling yourself? And you may be telling yourself a story that is not true. The story could be, I'm not good enough, I don't have the skill and talent. And there's no foundation for that or basis. So we started off with owning your headspace, and then we went into owning your physical space. Now, we wrote the book before COVID. In my post-COVID book, I've done a lot around the fact that owning your physical space is now also owning your Zoom or Teams or WebEx space. Because when you show up on that camera, although we're virtual, it's still your physical self. And how are you managing that? We spoke about owning your virtual self, which was texts and emails, and then owning your social self. So the concept of owning your space is a powerful one. But my philosophy, my mantra, David, and it doesn't matter whether I am speaking to a small group, a large group, in person, virtually, whether I'm speaking for 45 minutes or doing a day workshop, everything begins with self and then understanding who my audience is. And my audience could be someone who's interviewing me. My audience could be the people I work with. But it goes back to, and I love how you said that, which is, what about you? We spend so much time thinking about ourselves that even you and I, when we started our conversation today, you said, Nadia, this is our audience. Who's listening? What do we want them to think, feel, or do as a result of this conversation? And I think when we shift to that in all our interactions, we are so much more powerful. I spend a lot of time speaking about executive presence and personal presence. How you make other people feel is as foundational to the level of confidence or presence that you project.
So it's interesting that you said, what is the message you are telling yourself? Because that goes back to the Steve Jobs story. And it might sound like we devised this beforehand, but we didn't. Because that the story you're telling yourself is your internal noise. And maybe that is what's stopping you from going ahead.
And it's so interesting you spoke about Jobs. Stephen Covey does a similar exercise, and I don't know if you've seen it. He takes a vase, a big vase, and he puts a whole lot of sand in it. And he says, what are your cornerstones? And he tries to shove them in the sand. Then he says, try and put in the stones and then pour the sand in, right? visualize that. So what are your essential things, and are you fitting the other things in, or are you trying to shove the essential things in? So I really love that visual as well.
So that one that you're looking at is also about priorities. So you have to put the important things in first, because otherwise it won't fit in. So I like that exercise as well. So we are running towards the end of the show, unfortunately, but I just want to pick up on a couple of things. So you said, first of all, lesson number one for me was networking. You have to network, but I've never understood the networking the way you've explained it. And you've explained that networking is not about many people. It's about connecting with a few people. And then asking yourself, what stops us from doing it? It's the fear, it's a rejection, it's no time. We create that noise internally. And then what you spoke about is the small changes and that makes the big impact. And it's about connecting with the other person. And connecting with the other person, what can I do for you? How can I've got skills, these are my skills, create my brand, what can I do for you? And it's creating those five things. And I'm now getting a big message from Craig on the other side to wrap up, so I'm trying to wrap this up as quick as possible. And then your book on Own the Space, kind of give yourself permission to own your own headspace. What's that noise? And there's a nice theme that runs through this. I can't believe how the time has just run away with us. But what you've spoken about and the focus on the you has come through for me on this the whole time. It has been about you. I'm going to look at those five things for myself and see what can be my branding. But thank you for spending your time all the way from the USA. I'm David Zeidel, and I hope this has been valuable, and I'm sure it's been valuable for all those listening. And this has been the Orchard Business Show. Good evening.